I get two questions that I've gotten for many years. Number one is, what do you do for a living? Even from friends and family members who have known me my whole life. And number two is, how do you make money? And so today in this podcast, I am going to break it down to you and share with you how I make a living as a professional speaker, as a social entrepreneur, and someone who's been doing this since 1987, 36 years. I am Carol Copeland Thomas, and I am glad that you are watching or listening to Conversations with Carol. Buckle your seatbelt and get ready for the podcast that will take you on a special journey designed to elevate and empower your cross-cultural appreciation for communities around the world. Hello, I'm Carol Copeland Thomas. I'm your host of Conversations with Carol, the weekly show that connects culture with collaboration and community. Welcome aboard. Now, periodically, I like to put it out there and let people know who I am. I am as transparent as I possibly can be. And today, I want to follow up on the last podcast that I did where I told you what I do for a living, how I go about getting business, and the kind of work that I do. But now I want to specifically talk about the five different areas now where I bring in money and bring in revenue. As an entrepreneur, I learned a long time ago that you always have to look at multiple streams of income. You just can't look at one way of making money. You have to look at many different ways to make money. So as you see some of the people who are on television now, and you know they've got these enterprises, typically they have several different businesses that they're generating income from, and that's what makes them who they are. So I'm no different than that. I just don't have as many zeros after my bank account numbers as some of the other people do, the notables on television in particular, entertainers, et cetera, where they have these multiple streams of income. So the one thing that you want to learn as an entrepreneur that I had to learn many, many years ago is that you, as often as possible, want to generate money from different places so that all of that combined will sustain you going forward. Now, that's not to say that that's an easy feat, because it is not easy. If someone tells you, it's easy to make money, yeah, it may be easy for a season. But remember, I've been doing this 36 years, year in and year out, looking at all the opportunities that I have in front of me. And I can tell you firsthand, if it's a dollar, if it's $1 million, if it's $100 million, if you're an entrepreneur, you've worked pretty hard to generate that kind of income. And I am no different than that. Most of the money that I make is concentrated in the space of communications, in terms of me generating content and me bringing in and delivering services to the clients and the customers who I work with. Typically, the work that I'm doing generally deals with some aspect of leadership, some aspect of diversity or diversity, equity, inclusion, all the other letters that go along with it, deals with some kind of women's issue, since I speak to women's audiences quite a bit, and the services that I provide that are typically in that space. So that's where I make money. There are many other people, who are speakers or consultants, et cetera, and they may have businesses that are very different than this particular core business that they're passionate about. They may have a laundromat, a restaurant. They may own buildings where they have a property manager who is managing those buildings. They may be in construction. They may have some kind of retail outfit. So yes, there are lots of entrepreneurs out here, and the combination of the revenue streams that they have are endless. And you'll see that an awful lot when you're talking about my kind of service business. I'm in a service business, and there is a little bit of a cyclical nature to it, where there are some aspects of how I bring in money that has a seasonal component to it. And that's why I have to continuously look at the reinvention concept, where I'm not completely remaking myself, but I'm sharpening my skills so that I remain competitive. I have to remain competitive so that I can generate the kind of income that I want to generate and keep myself in business moving forward. So that's really important. So let's get down to it. The first way that I make money in my business is with speaking and training. I have been a speaker and a trainer since 1989. I started in business in 1987, and I actually opened up an employment agency, a temporary employment agency, and that was the main concentration for 2 years when I started that business in October of 1987. I migrated out of that business for a number of reasons I won't talk about now, but one of them was I was very fortunate during that time to get a $13,000 contract. I'll never forget that. $13,000 contract from my local phone company. I had a very good friend who was in a managerial role, and she brought me in to do training for her employees. That stuck with me in terms of the impact of that training, the time that I put in to do that kind of training, and the revenue that I had generated because of that. And so from that one experience, that was way back in 1989, long, long time ago, I realized that there were other opportunities like that. And that was probably where I should shift my business, which is exactly what I did during that time. At the same time, I was becoming more acclimated to work in diversity. And there was sort of a merge between affirmative action and diversity during that time. I also was selected by an organization I belong to, the American Association of University Women. My great aunt, bless her heart, she's gone to glory. Camilla Thomas was a faithful member of the Columbus, Georgia branch of the AAUW, and she was probably the first Black member there, and she influenced me to join the organization when I graduated from college, and I've been a member pretty much ever since. So that organization was establishing sort of like certified diversity speakers and trainers within AAUW. They brought me and others to Washington, D.C., where we were trained, and then we were made available to various AAUW branches within our area and elsewhere. And so that's probably the kind of training that I got formally, which then shifted my business to doing more diversity work. I have gotten lots of other training since that time. And again, I've been doing this work now for 36 years, and 34 of those years I've been doing DEI work and training. So my business shifted 2 years after it started with that one contract that then led to other contracts and other contracts. Now, the thing that you have to understand as an entrepreneur, please, this is very important to remember, is that you have to stay relevant and you have to consistently market yourself and your services all the time. You also have to remember that there is a life cycle of decision makers who retire and then other people come in their place. Increasingly, as I get older, that is something I have to always keep in mind, that the people who hired me 30 years ago, they're retired by now. So I've always had to keep my eyes on younger people and individuals coming up the rank because they become the decision makers. So much so that now, as my daughters are in their 40s, the decision makers, in many instances, could be my kids. They are in their 40s, they're in their 50s, they're in their 30s. And so I have to always look at the landscape and look at the individuals who could hire me for speaking, training, et cetera. And that's very, very important to remember. If you don't keep your eye on your marketplace and who can use your services or buy your products, et cetera, you could very easily 5, 10 years out realize that you're dried up in terms of your particular prospects. And so that's always been very, very important for me. And I'll probably do another segment about marketing later on because I'm very active online. I have some 8,000 plus people who are my first connects on LinkedIn. I'm going to grow that exponentially. So we'll probably save that for another episode. So speaking and training, and then secondly, consulting and coaching, I'm sort of lumping that together as number one and number two, are the principal ways that I have made money and I continue to make money based on the clients that I work with. I've had some clients that I've worked with for 10 years, 15 years, 5 years. So I've had these clients who over and over again either rehire me or there is a contract that's in place where they use my services for multiple months or multiple years. The most recent one that I had that was an 18-month contract was serving as the interim chief diversity officer at Curry College. Now, that's where the president of that college heard me speak on a Zoom session that was held by his college. And he was impressed with what I said and the research that I did. He invited me in. We had a round of negotiations. And that led to me ultimately serving for 18 months in the capacity of being I was a vendor. I was a consultant. I was never a full-time employee. I had my other business activities, but that was a substantial contract that was an 18-month assignment. I still have relationships going on there. I was part of the search committee. And so my replacement just started earlier this month, and I'll have a chance to meet him a little bit in the next couple of weeks. And next week, I'm going back. They've invited me back to do a session on unconscious bias that I'll do on the college campus. So that relationship will continue. And that's what happens when you build these relationships, you make them, they bring you in, they respect the work that you put in. There's a lot of preparation that goes into the assignments that I take on. As with any kind of speaker, trainer, coach, consultant, you just don't show up and do your thing. You have to do a lot of preparation. So again, it depends. I may have one or two contracts that I'm working on or one or two clients who I'm working with. It just depends, but I'm always marketing, always. Number three is sponsorship and events. I've been putting on events now some 30 plus years, more than 30 years. My events up until COVID were all in hotels or ballroom spaces or on university campuses. My organization now is responsible for 5 events that are held each year now that are all online because of COVID. So that's divided up between my multicultural symposium series, where I started conferences back in 2008. And now we're having like our 17th or so conference online 2-day event that will take place. And that's sponsored by a number of different organizations. And then I also teamed up with 2 great friends, one in Minnesota and one in the United Kingdom. And we put on the US-UK Summit on Race, which we started in 2021, the year after the death of George Floyd. And that's significant because our focus is all on racial equity issues globally, not just in the US, but in the UK and other parts of the world. So that is how I have expanded my marketplace. And I do speak regularly to a global audience, and particularly since I'm able to do that with my online presence. So the sponsorship is very significant and has been extremely important to me for the last particularly 20 years because of the work that I do and because of the events that I put on. So much so that I have sponsors now, and I have a sponsorship packet. I have a whole system that I use in terms of generating new sponsors, but I have sponsors who have been with me 15 years, and every year they will up a particular amount and they will re-sponsor, renew their sponsorship. So again, this is critically important, because when you're talking about the cyclical nature and the fact that you've got to eat every month and you have to pay your bills every month, take care of other responsibilities. If you have a staff, they have to eat as well. So you've got to have these various lines of revenue coming in so that you can have a stability in place to make things happen. And for the most part, that's been very much a part of who I am. Now, I'm sort of editing this because there are lots of pitfalls and there are lots of things that can and will go wrong if you're not careful. That'll be another session that I'll do. But the sponsorship piece for me has been extremely integral and integral to who I am, the business model that I have. I have advertising sponsors. I have regular corporate sponsors. So some represent the advertising side, some represent the sponsorship side. And the amounts range. They range from, you know, a couple of thousand dollars to five figure sponsorships. So it just depends. But the key in that is the importance of relationships and building the right kind of relationships that will continue and will be very sustainable in terms of your sponsorships, your advertising dollars coming in all the time. Now, I should tie in too that I have had a radio presence. This is the podcast that I'm doing now. But prior to this podcast, I started my radio activities in 1999. Yeah, small radio station in Boston. They didn't pay me, but they gave me the space to have empowerment segments that I had on, empowerment tips that I had on the air weekly. That then turned into a weekly talk show, and it was actually on the air broadcasting live on September 11th when those planes hit the World Trade Center, and then the plane went down in Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. Again, I'll probably talk about that at another time as well. But the radio presence has been a continuum for me with maybe a five-year break, and now I'm doing this podcast. So I've been able to tie in advertising dollars with certain companies that would sponsor my radio show. So again, different ways, different revenue streams, and ways to really deal with that. So that's number three. Number four, recently, since 2008, has been a membership component with my multicultural symposium series. So not only did I have a conference that accompanied that particular brand that I'm working on now and that's part of my business, but I also wanted to start a membership. And so I've had members who pay a fee to become a part of my multicultural symposium series. And in fact, I'm going to put links in the show notes so that you'll have this information in front of you. I now have elevated the membership, done some redesigning. The price has gone up. The features have gone up. And so this conference that I mentioned to you that is a two-day conference, it's typically held in November. So November 7th and 8th is our next multicultural conference. You can watch live. Anybody can watch live around the world, but the actual archival recordings of that particular event that's held in the members only website of the Multicultural Symposium Series. And the same thing with my breakfast that's held in March. And so those two events, you can come and you can watch and participate live. But if you can't make it, you have to be a member to hear the recordings after the fact. So I have a ton of recordings from different events at the website that people can listen and watch at any time as a member of the symposium series. And then that website also contains a community forum. It will contain some other new features that I'm going to announce and bring to the forefront in June, including a page for every country in the world. We're going to feature countries each month. So we're going to do that so that people can have that information for themselves to review and to explore. And then also various DEI trends that are happening in the marketplace. We'll have a page for that. So it's a very robust website that has a lot of great information, and it's available for our members of the Multicultural Symposium Series. That, my goal, my wish, my work effort is to really expand and build that to about 1,000 members. I won't be satisfied until I get to 1,000 members worldwide. They're all talking to each other. We're all dealing with these multicultural dynamic issues, and we're looking at them from our perspectives, but also from the perspectives of people who we now know who are members of the Multicultural Symposium Series. So I'd love for you to help us out, help me out to get to that 1,000 number in short order so that we can really elevate what I think is a very important, significant movement per se, just because diversity is under attack. And this is a way for us to counter that attack. I run masterclasses now that are tied in and people can participate real time. But again, we give great information about what it takes to become a member of the Multicultural Symposium Series at these various masterclasses that are run. And then the last way that is very, very recent, again, you always have to look at new opportunities, is that I recently created an online diversity course. I'm very excited, excited about where it's going to go and where it's going to grow. So we have that course. It's called Promoting DEIBM Advocacy. That's Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, Belonging and Multiculturalism Advocacy, promoting DEIBM advocacy in a world of misinformation. So it's a very contemporary course. We deal with lots of important issues regarding diversity, misinformation, disinformation, allyship. Critical race theory is also covered as well. And the implementation of how and where can these concepts be used most effectively, both on and off the job. All of that is discussed in the online course. So that course I am now licensing to companies. So you can have access to that course as a member of the Multicultural Symposium Series. Absolutely. And if you have a company that has a desire to really educate your workforce and you want them to have the latest information about this important topic, then you can license this course. And that's where I'm really building my efforts and my services so that we can bring on a number of companies, corporations, organizations, et cetera, large and small, who can license my course and courses that will come afterward as well. I have other courses that I'm working on and designing that would be part of this portfolio. So I really look at the institutionalized, the academy of courses, services, et cetera, that either can be generated from the Multicultural Symposium Series, the website, mssglobalsummit.com, my particular services in terms of training, speaking, consulting, coaching, the sponsorship activities that can take place. So these five different areas, speaking, training, coaching, consulting, that's number one and two. Also, number three would be sponsorships with the various activities, the events that I hold, and membership. That's number four, where you can individually become a member of the Multicultural Symposium Series. And number five, brand new licensing, how you, your company, can license my course and courses for the improvement and personal development of your staff members and employees. So, that's how I make money. That is how I bring in dollars and cents and everything in between so that this business can go forward where it's sustainable and it's one where I can be proud of the work that I do, where I can be proud of the content that I provide, and I can help people say, as some have said 10, 15 years later, the course that you ran, the workshop that you ran, the speaking engagement, the keynote speaking engagement that you delivered I remember it to this day, and it helped me to do XYZ. I've had those kind of comments, and that lets me know I'm on the right track. So that's how Carol makes money. Five different ways, different dollar amounts. I'll talk about the marketing in another segment, and hopefully this will inspire you to find your path in life with your multiple income streams, whether you are a social entrepreneur, a part-time entrepreneur, a full-time entrepreneur, or someone who is helping, advocating, and assisting someone who wants to go into business. Hopefully this has been helpful to you. Enjoy the rest of your week, weekend, and I hope that you'll come back for another episode of Conversations with Carol. Take care, and thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Carol. Spread the word and tell friends and colleagues that this podcast is tailor-made for them. Make sure you subscribe, and we welcome your comments and reviews on your favorite podcast platform. Visit us at carolcopelandthomas.com and listen to all of the episodes and learn about my speaking services there. Thanks again, and we'll see you back next week for an exciting new show. See you soon.